If your small business is booming, you might say,
cha-ching.
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we'll help your growing business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Sam Scriven is with us, senior statistician at the Central Statistics Office. And Sam, you put out a statement last week, the CSO, about the number of visitors coming to Ireland in February this year been down by 30%. And we had Paul Gallagher, the chief executive of the Irish Hotels Federation, with us last Friday saying, that's not the case. Couldn't possibly be the case. They're not seeing it in any fall in the numbers being in hotels. They don't see it for the bookings for the rest of the year. And apparently Dublin Airport says the numbers down are only marginal compared to last year. So how have you reached this assessment that our tourists numbers are down by 30% in February?
Hi Matt, how are you? So the latest results from the CSO passenger survey were released on Friday, as you said. The passenger survey is a survey where we interview departing passengers at the ports and airports, and we ask them about where they're from, how long they've spent here, how much they spend here, and what they spend it on. And this gives us unique insights into travel patterns, including statistics not just on inbound tourists, but also on the numbers of outbound Irish passengers, transit passengers, and residents, for example, from Northern Ireland who are using Dublin Airport. Now, the headline figure released on Friday shows a 30% reduction in the number of overnight overseas visitors in February compared with the same month last year. That's just over 300,000 overnight visitors in February this year, compared with around 430,000 for February last year. And this follows on from a fall of around 25% in the equivalent statistic reported for January.
But the various people involved in the industry say that's just not their experience. They just don't believe the numbers you're producing.
Look, Matt, it's not for me to comment on other data sources I haven't seen. We can only comment on our own statistics. We have a process of continuous engagement with tourism bodies and agencies, and we are keen to help users to understand our statistics. In terms of other data or apparently conflicting evidence, it's very important to ensure that we're talking about the same thing. Of course, we're very happy to review any data sources which others might have in helping us to understand tourism flows.
Okay, but how big a sample do you do?
So we have a team of tourist enumerators who collect data on a continuous basis at our international ports and airports. During February alone, over 13,000 passengers were interviewed, and this figure would be in line with previous months. We then use the survey data to calibrate against actual passenger numbers provided to us by the ports and airports. The survey is carried out consistently according to methods which were developed in collaboration with key partners and have been independently reviewed. And we are confident that the published statistics reflect the numbers on the ground.
Yeah, but if you're getting numbers from the airports and the ferry ports, can't you compare them with last year? Because that wouldn't suggest that there's a 30% fall, would it?
Well, as you mentioned, Matt, I suppose the total number of passengers compared to last February hasn't really changed much. But the survey results that we're getting, while on one hand we're seeing this reduction in overnight inbound visitors, we've seen a roughly corresponding increase in outbound Irish during February.
Okay, but could it be that a lot of these people coming in are coming in for work or for other reasons, or they're coming home from Ireland to Ireland, or what could it be if they're not here as tourists?
I suppose, look, the February numbers indicate a drop in visitor numbers across all key regional markets. So figures for the US and Canada and for mainland Europe were both down by more than 30%, and the fall in visitors from Great Britain was down by around a quarter. While the greatest decline was among visitors whose reason for travelling was holidays and leisure, that was down by 40%. There was also decline in those who were travelling for business reasons.
All right. Thank you very much, Sam Scriven from the Central Statistics Office. Ona Mara Walsh is Chief Executive of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, which is involved in bringing an awful lot of the package holidays and the likes into Ireland. What do you make of that explanation from Sam Scriven?
Hi, Matt. The CSO February data has surprised us, and it's left industry leaders scratching their heads. I mean, none of the industry data we have shows the severity of decline that is suggested by the CSO. So we're in touch all the time with the airlines, with the airports, with the hotels, with the tourist attractions, all the tourism stakeholders on the ground. And they've all reported business as being flat or marginally down on February last month, but nothing like the decline that the CSO are pointing out. And remember, these are bums on seats and heads on pillows. This is booked business that we're talking about rather than surveys. So there's a disconnect there. And I should say that we have a good working relationship with the CSO. We hope to meet them later this week. And we really want to get to the bottom of this because it's too important to leave so much doubt and uncertainty.
Why is it so important?
Well, like, tourism is the largest indigenous industry in the country. It's the biggest regional employer. The government of the day, tourist agencies, they all make decisions on the back of data. Data is absolutely critical. Statistics are absolutely critical. And if industry data and intelligence, which, as I say, is bums on seats and heads on pillows, is saying one thing, but survey data from the CSO is saying something dramatically different, there's a disconnect there and we have to get to the bottom of it.
Okay. Could it be that people aren't using Airbnbs in the way that they were? That's what's keeping your hotel numbers up, but that the actual numbers overall are falling. It's just that they're not going to Airbnb, or could that possibly explain it?
Yeah, there's a raft of reasons. Like, the industry did feel that Q1 this year would be soft. You know, there was one less Six Nations home game, for example. February, for example, last year was a leap year. This year was only the regular 28 days. And, of course, there's the passenger cap at Dublin Airport. So there's a raft of reasons why the Q1 this year will be soft. But we were thinking, you know, the expectation was kind of small single-digit declines. And that's the feedback we're getting from airlines and from hotels and tourist attractions. So the 30% drop, or as Sam mentioned, you know, 40% drop in the US business, that just doesn't tally with the experience on the ground. So we're keen to get to the bottom of it. We're keen to talk to Sam and colleagues and work out how we can go forward. Because remember, January and February are sort of quiet tourism months. They're out of season. I think, you know, January and February combined only account for about 10% of the tourism year. But from March onwards, St. Patrick's Day, Easter in April, and then into the summer months, tourism really takes off. So we need to be rock solid in terms of...
Yeah, what if the CSO numbers are right? Or even if they're not entirely accurate, what if they show what really is going on? What can the tourism industry do to reverse that? Because a lot of people are texting in already saying it's just too expensive to come here in Ireland, or even to stay here in Ireland if you're a tourist.
Well, remember, cost-wise, Ireland is a northern European country. We're never going to be able to compete with the cheaper Mediterranean countries. That's something that we've just got to accept. We've got to, as an industry, provide a really good value for money experience. I mean, looking forward, you know, despite a soft winter, and we don't think it's as soft as the CSO numbers are portraying, and there's a gremlin in the system there somewhere. But looking forward, we're still confident of a strong summer predicated on good US businesses, great transatlantic air access, particularly from North America. The dollar is strong.
It's weakened.
Not as strong as it was. And of course, Trump's tariffs announced later this week could put the cat among the pigeons. But if the US economy stays strong, if the dollar remains relatively strong, we should have a good season from North America. And that's particularly important.
Well, do we have enough hotel accommodation available in the country for our tourists?
We do. We could do with some more, but we do have enough. We had a shortage, a significant acute problem a couple of years ago because so many hotels had contracted with the government for humanitarian reasons. That is gradually being unwound. So we do have adequate hotel stock, although there are certain pockets of the country where I'd like to see more hotels. And remember, additional hotel stock will moderate prices because demand and supply will be in sync. So this is a really, really important industry. I go back to my central point that data is absolutely critical. A government minister or officials, and remember, tourism is now in a newly configured enterprise tourism and employment department, but all policy decisions, whether it's to do with the airport cap, whether it's to do with VAT, whether it's to do with costs of business, are all predicated on good data collection. So it's important we get this right.
Thank you very much for that, Ona Mara Walsh, Chief Executive of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation. We're joined by the Chief Executive of the Dublin Airport Authority, Kenny Jacobs. Kenny, can I ask you first, please, about these CSO figures on falling tourist numbers? They're suggesting the number of tourists down in the month of February, down 30% year on year. In January, it was 25% year on year. What's going on? Are you seeing this at your airports?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, we're seeing it at Dublin Airport. So Dublin Airport, which has a passenger cap on it this winter, which was for January, February, March, and the last few months of last year, we've seen flat growth compared to last year. Now, that's because of the passenger cap, but we are seeing that tourist numbers are down. Now, I know there, some people are saying they may not be as down as high as the 30%, but tourist numbers are definitely down in the first 3 months of the year. In contrast to other...
If the same amount of passengers and flights are coming in as last year, who's coming in if it isn't tourists?
Well, I don't know. Look, that's a question for the tourism people. There might be fewer people coming in other forms of transport. But what we've seen in Cork Airport is plus 5% in quarter one, and in Dublin Airport, about minus 1% in quarter one of the calendar year.
So is this people, Irish people, going out and coming back in rather than being tourists, is keeping their traffic levels up?
Some of it could be that, because there is, you know, what is actually classified as a tourist, and a lot of Irish people who are resident in the UK who sometimes will be classed as tourists, but it's more visiting family and friends. But that's probably a question for the for Tourism Ireland in terms of who's classified as what type of tourist. I absolutely hear what restaurants are saying, what people are saying in the hotel industry. It's in Dublin, it's all around the country. People are saying that it feels like there's less. Dublin Airport, if we didn't have a passenger cap, we would probably be up at around plus 8 to plus 10% compared to the minus 1% that we are.
Okay. You're turning away business, are you?
We're still turning away business. Now, the summer has started, and there's a stay on the passenger cap at Dublin in the summer months as determined by the High Court, but we are turning away airline business, which we'd rather not do. So we're still fighting that saga, trying to get the cap removed, trying to get planning going faster so that we can build, add new piers and stands that will ultimately allow us to have more airlines operating at Dublin Airport and move to a higher passenger number, which will be great for tourism.
Okay, but sorry, let's just clarify in this. Because of a High Court move, you are allowed to break the cap this year, are you, with sort of allowing existing services to continue at a level which will bring in more than 32 million people?
Yes, for the 7 months of the summer. So the High Court decided that at the end of last year. Now it's going back to the High Court. What happens at the end of the summer season? The summer season in aviation started the weekend just gone. It'll run till the end of October. At the end of October, the passenger cap comes back in. As we now talk, let's see how that plays out in the High Court. But yeah, passenger cap at Dublin is gone for the 7 months of the summer. The airlines have already filed for additional slots to be able to do more. So you'll have about 1 million more passengers at Dublin Airport this summer than you did last summer. So it's good news in the summer in terms of there will be more people coming. There certainly will be more airline seats on sale. And we and everybody would hope that they end up being filled with lots of tourists coming to Ireland.
Yeah, so you'll be able to accommodate, will you, things like you already have for the last few years, things like the American colleges football coming in August, which brings in an enormous amount from America. But you've now got NFL game with the Pittsburgh Steelers in September. Will you be able to accommodate all the additional flights and even things like private aircraft coming in?
We will. So private aircraft might have been excluded from the calculation, which is good and helpful. The Steelers game, because if it takes place in September, we can accommodate it. If it takes place in November, we couldn't accommodate all the flights that would want to come in. So I know people are saying there'll be 30,000 Americans will come for the NFL game. Again, possible in September. In November, those American carriers wouldn't be able to get the slots that they want. Now, American Airlines are not happy with the situation. They consider the cap at Dublin Airport, like they did consider the cap at Schiphol Airport, a trade barrier. And I know the American Airlines lobby group is meeting the government this week, and they will be making that point. I think it would be very unhelpful if the passenger cap at Dublin Airport got caught up in a trade discussion. So I hope that there is new ideas come on the table, because we welcome the fact it's in the government, the programme for government to remove the cap at Dublin Airport. But we need some new ideas and we need some new thinking, as well as planning to move faster, because ultimately we're operationally maxed out at about 39 million, but we see a much, much bigger Dublin Airport, and the population of Ireland support that. You know, even 77% of the population of Fingal support expansion at the airport. But we need to get on with this now.
Okay, well, there's a front page report in the Irish Times today, a story by Jack Horgan-Jones, which says new laws planned to increase the cap at Dublin Airport. It says draft options and legislation expected to be sent to the Minister for Transport in weeks. Could this be the way to bypass all of the issues in relation to the courts, planning, all the rest of it? That the government simply just gets the finger out and brings in new laws which allows everything to be overridden and to do what you believe needs to be done at the airport?
It could. Now, I don't know the details of the legislation. We've met the minister, we had a very positive meeting, and I think he's positive about growth at Dublin Airport. There's the option of a ministerial directive, which some of the airlines have talked of. There is the possibility on new legislation that would remove the counting of passengers in the compliance of planning, I understand, is the second option they're looking at. These would be helpful because it will remove the cap. It doesn't speed up planning. We've made a proposal to the government on how you could speed up planning, and that would be reclassifying Dublin Airport as strategic infrastructure and following a model like the one they have in the UK, where there is a team of dedicated expertise infrastructure planners who do airports, ports and other critical transportation infrastructure, and they have to make a decision in about 12 months, and ultimately then it's the minister who signs off to something get approved or not from a planning point of view. That is allowing UK airports to get going faster with their planning applications. You know, Gatwick, for example, typically will get, you know, and they're looking to grow by more than Dublin Airport. It'll be about 14 months from when they apply to actually getting planning. At the moment, if you ask me how long do I think it'll take before we get a green light, first from Fingal and then from On Board Planola, I think 4 to 5 years. And that's simply too long. And this is something that we can make go faster. If we make it go faster, the airport can expand. That's good for jobs. That's good for tourism. And we should do everything we can like this while we're in these uncertain times economically.
Kenny Jacobs, Chief Executive, Dublin Airport Authority. Thank you.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
If your small business is booming and ready to expand, you might say something like,
"It's happening!
Booyah!
Yes!
Crushed it." But if you need someone who can actually help protect your growing business, just say,
"Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there."
And just like that, your State Farm agent can help you get the coverage you need for your new space. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.